Esqualo means shark. I didn't realize it, but Astor Piazzolla loved to fish for shark. And the opening piece on his new recording, Legacy, is named for the shark. That's one of many stories you'll hear as we listen to this extended podcast of new classical tracks featuring violinist Tomas Kotik as he celebrates the legacy of Astor Piazzolla. You're originally from Argentina, and you moved away when you were just 18, and since then you've lived in Canada and Germany and now the United States. How has living in these different places impacted your view of your homeland today?
A lot. I would say that I basically came back to this music because of the fact of being away of my home country, Argentina. When I was growing up, this music wasn't particularly appealing to me. It was more of a background presence. I would listen to it in maybe an AM radio show of those that no one listens to, or by a played by a bandoneon player, a busking musician in the subways. But I got more interested in this music once I was away. It was maybe a little bit of nostalgia, like maybe missing friends, mate and dulce de leche, those things that I wasn't particularly crazy fond of when I was living in Argentina, and so was with this music by Astor Piazzolla. Once I was living abroad, I kind of got more interested, and while I would say that the main part of my career, it's been with classical music, maybe even the Viennese classic in particular, I got more interested over the years in this music that is also very multicultural. Astor's life and the old traditional tango itself has a lot of that diversity in its roots.
The last time you and I spoke, I believe you were working on your dissertation, which was all about Schubert, and you had put out a recording about Schubert with Tao Lin, and you said that this wonderful collaboration with this pianist also led you to exploring the music of Astor Piazzolla. In fact, you had discovered that Tao Lin actually was a big fan of Piazzolla and had collected some of his recordings. So I'm wondering what's inspired you now to continue that relationship, both with Tao Lin and also with Astor Piazzolla.
Well, since we spoke, a lot happened. A few years later, we continued that Schubert project and finished recording all of Schubert's works for violin and piano. We also started a project that is due to come out in the coming months of recording Mozart's 16 sonatas in a 4-CD set. But the music of Piazzolla has been also been a parallel project to all of this. And a few years ago, after the release of Tango Nuevo, Gary Barton, who's a famous vibraphonist and who also recorded and played with Astor Piazzolla, invited us to play in his series, in his jazz series, actually. And I decided to take a new challenge and create all new adaptations for that show. And going forward for 2017, the anniversary of the passing of Astor Piazzolla is the 25th anniversary. I thought it would be a wonderful celebration to record and release a disc with so many tunes that I really loved, that I wanted to play, I wanted to sing with the violin. And the nice reception that that previous disc had encouraged me to go ahead and fulfill this dream of also singing these other tunes that are, a lot of them are very well known and some a little bit more obscure.
I do want to talk about the specific pieces on this recording, but first I want to talk a little bit about Astor Piazzolla. As I was looking at the liner notes inside the recording, which is called Legacy, I actually was learning a few things about this composer, and I hope that you'll help to highlight some of these things, like how he earned the nickname Lefty.
Yes, Astor was short and worked with a limp due to a congenital condition, so he fought his way to respect. The other kids called him Lefty, acknowledging his punch. And, you know, the aggressivity in Piazzolla's music, there's a lot about it. He was born in Buenos Aires, but he left when he was 4 years old. He went to Manhattan, to the Lower East Side, which at that time was filled with sort of gangsters from every possible denomination. A few years later, his family tried to go back to Argentina. They went back to New York due to the economical conditions in Argentina, and he would settle in Little Italy, where he was surrounded by immigrants, going from Polish, Jewish, Italians, you name it. And it wasn't the New York of today. It was more rough, and also we have all the roughness from the origins of tango, you know, the compadritos, those rough men that lived in Buenos Aires. They lived for tango and girls and carried knives with them. They got into fights, and this music that actually originated in the burdels. So all of this gives the tango, and particularly music, this character of a lot of energy, a lot of aggression, a lot of vitality, like the cities of New York and Buenos Aires.
I have to say that as I was reading more about him, I was surprised to learn that he actually hated tango.
Yes, he started because pretty much his father brought him to that. His father would play every day those old traditional tangos, the tangos from the Guardia Vieja. And that was something that Piazzolla didn't particularly like. He got the bandoneon, and he pretty much had to do that. Later on, a neighbor who was a student of Rachmaninoff and a pianist would make arrangements, and Piazzolla would play compositions by Bach in the bandoneon. Later on, when they moved back to Argentina when he was 16, he would make a living as a tango player, performing with the great tango players from that time, but his dream was to become a classical music composer. He was studying with Alberto Ginastera, the music of Bartok, Stravinsky, and he eventually got a scholarship to study with the famous Nadia Boulanger, the teacher of pretty much most of the famous composers we know from last century. And she was the one who, after at some point asking him what's his background, what's his music and his instrument, made him realize that that was the real Piazzolla. And that's how Astor created and developed the Tango Nuevo, based on the tango roots but informed by American jazz, klezmer, rock, modern classical music, Italian folk influences, and all different kind of music styles.
Now, it's interesting, though, because it took him a while to actually have success with his Nuevo Tango. Can you share a little bit about why that was?
He was fighting all his life to have the audience recognize his music and him as a composer. The old tangueros were pretty much against what he was doing. They would say, this is not tango. And fast forward so many years, who cares how we call this music? It probably isn't tango. Who knows? But they reacted very strongly against these changes that Piazzolla was introducing to tango, and he suffered from that criticism. He was fighting very hard to have his music recognized, and he composed a lot of music. He was very prolific.
I know that creating the adaptations that are featured on this new recording, Legacy, was something that you said was on your bucket list for a long time. What inspired you to finally do this?
You know, every time I would go to Argentina on vacations, sporadically while living in all those places around the world, I would try to find some music scores. And I collected a bunch of those, and I always wanted to adapt. When I adapt, I try to do minimal changes to pretty much not touch it. But we have to remember that Astor himself would play always different arrangements of his music. And my goal was to create very violinistic adaptations, full of effects, full of energy, maybe even a little bit faster because we are dealing with fewer instruments. And in this recording, in a few tracks, we also added percussion to reproduce the percussive effects that Piazzolla has in his own recordings.
Well, let's talk about some of the pieces. There's a couple that jumped out at me. And oftentimes, what really catches my ear is how these pieces really shift. The mood shifts. It'll be something just, oh, really tender-hearted, and then all of a sudden we're off dancing again. One piece that I really enjoyed was, and you're going to help me with my Spanish, I hope, Milonga del Ángel.
Milonga del Ángel.
I mean, it was just beautiful listening to it. It's just, I literally had to stop what I was doing, like, oh, what is that?
Yeah, it's also one of my favorite slow melodies by Piazzolla. It's just beautiful. Piazzolla a lot of times has these kind of dreamy, slow melodies, kind of smoky atmospheres or veiled feelings, and yet they are never kitsch or...
Well, they're memorable. They kind of touch your heart, but I think what you're saying maybe is they aren't sort of schmaltzy, right? They're not...
Yes, they never got into kitsch or melodrama of the old tango. And it's certainly a challenge, and I see Piazzolla's music as being very direct and sincere and not getting into that schmaltzy. And then, again, he has these big changes in mood.
I think another word that I've seen associated with his music is grit, or gritty, but yet tender.
Yes, the old tango and Piazzolla's upbringing have all this aggressivity, this energy in it. And, you know, Piazzolla's music, as much as we as classical musicians always are trying to get to an incredibly tight intonation and cleanness when we play, in Astor's music, it's probably part of it is necessary and appropriate, but there's also an element of filth, of roughness, and even sometimes I play on purpose, just a little bit on the low side of intonation, kind of that feeling that you want to get there with, you know, with the note, but you don't really get there. And another aspect that I like in all those slow melodies, and even in the fast part, is to pull and push the tempo. There's a lot of playing around that we can do in this music, that, you know, a lot of tension between the instruments and with any idea of steady tempo at all. So it's always playing, flirting, and fighting the tempo. And that's something that I enjoy a lot in this music.
Just when you use those two terms, it made me think of the piece Adios Nonino, which to me was, you know, it shifts around from being kind of playful party music to then almost being seductive.
He composed Adios Nonino when after his father died, and it's one of his most known tunes. And while the knowing that he wrote it after his father died make us all feel that it should be sentimental and sad, in some interviews he spoke about more of a feeling of being grateful. And I think that's also one of the essences, that it doesn't really go into too sentimental, but there's something more to it.
Now, you mentioned Vardarito. That and the piece right before it, Esqualo, those two pieces were written or dedicated to two great tango violinists. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes, Esqualo was written for Fernando Suarez Paz, one of the violinists in his late quintets, and he wanted to make a show to him. He wanted to create a piece that was too difficult, that it would throw him off with complicated rhythms. Piazzolla liked doing a lot of jokes, and this piece is very intense, is challenging, but a lot of fun to play. And Esqualo means shark, it's the scientific name for shark, and it refers to Piazzolla. One of his favorite pastimes was fishing sharks in Punta del Este, a resort town in Uruguay.
Really? I had no idea. I'm learning so much. Now, for people who are familiar with the film Last Tango in Paris, there's a familiar melody on this recording from that movie as well.
Je ne Paul, yeah. And I think that's one of the lesser-known pieces in the album. That's also one piece that we decided to add percussion. And you can also hear there some percussive effects in the violin, particularly an effect that is called lija, or in English, sandpaper. That's something we do playing behind the bridge with quite a lot of pressure, and that gets this kind of sandpaper effect. In Spanish, there's also another name. We call it chicharra, and it's very effectful, and the first time people listen to that, they are usually surprised.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I think actually when I heard that, I thought my CD, something was wrong with it.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
The other thing we hear on this recording are the four seasons. Tell me about these pieces.
Yeah, Piazzolla didn't intend to be this a series. He initially composed The Summer, and about 4 years later, he composed the rest. Are some of his most known compositions, and Piazzolla's music, if music can reflect landscapes or anything else that we can think of in words, I think it's the music of Buenos Aires. It has, you know, the aggressivity, the fast pace, the craziness of the megapolis of Buenos Aires. And a lot of his pieces reflect that craziness, that absurd, that decadence. Think also of Balada para un Loco or Revirado, even Fracanapa, all even in a beat in the title or in the music have aspects of craziness and decadence.
Now, there are other musicians on this recording in addition to you and Tao Lin. We have a double bass player, Jeffrey Kipperman, and then a percussionist, or two percussionists, actually, Alex Wadner and Bradley Laudis.
Mm-hmm.
How did you come together as an ensemble?
So part of the challenge of doing something, a new album, I wanted to just go one step beyond what we had done, and I felt that this music, these particular pieces, needed, I really wanted to include the percussive effects. And sometimes I was missing the bass sound that you would associate with Piazzolla's music or with jazz music. and I was living in Miami at the time. I was living in Miami until 1 year ago, and I reached out to colleagues of the New World Symphony. The two percussionists were fellows at the New World Symphony, which I played with the New World Symphony years back, like, I don't know, about 10 years before that. And I always admire and have very good feelings about New World Symphony. And I reached out to them and they loved the project and wanted to join. And I also did my doctorate and I was teaching at that point at University of Miami. So I contacted a colleague, Jeff Kipperman, and he also was very happy to join.
Oh, fun. So as you were putting this recording together, what did you learn about yourself?
You know, it's crazy. For all my projects, when I play or even when I, you know, write about music or about teaching, I always research. I like knowing as much as possible, reading everything possible. I also had done many years ago, when I was in Freiburg, Germany, a thesis about Astor Piazzolla. And you know that later I did my dissertation about Schubert's music before recording. And always again, when it comes the moment of playing or now speaking with you, I stop looking at the music and I forget everything I know and I just go ahead. And in particular, in Piazzolla's music, as much as I have heard recordings of him play and recordings from tango musicians, eventually it's part of who I am. I just play and it feels right to me, and I just certainly hope that other people will enjoy it as well.
And that's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. With special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode, I'm Julie Amacher.